This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
So now we have on the phone our next guest, David.
I wonder if Ben, our next guest, likes Bananarama.
You're going to have to ask, aren't we? We've got Ben Northey here with us. He's conducting a performance at the bowl.
My music bowl.
So Melbourne Symphony. So welcome to the show, Ben.
I am a huge Bananarama fan.
There we go.
Brilliant.
Right in my vintage.
Okay.
Waterman era very clearly. Very clearly indeed.
So what, you know, like tell us your story growing up. You know, like obviously you've been trained as a classical, in classical music. But what about the pop world, Ben? You know, like how did that interfere at all? And, you know, like your mother would say, stop listening to Bananarama and keep playing those scales.
No, not at all. I mean, I loved practicing all of the instruments. I couldn't decide which one I wanted to play. And I went through a lot of them. And actually, you know, I played the violin, the piano in primary school, played the trumpet for 4 years. Then I moved on to the flute. And then I wanted actually to play in bands, and I started playing the saxophone, and that was huge in pop music.
Brian Ferry and Roxy Music, the saxophone player.
It was just everywhere. Tina Turner, all of those tracks.
It was
the
age of
the big saxophone solo, you know.
Definitely was.
Thing. And so, you know, that was fun, and that enabled me to play a lot of contemporary music, jazz as well. And so I've had this sort of very broad background in music. I mean, classical music's obviously always been my main thing, but now that the orchestras are doing so many different styles of music,
yes,
it served me in good stead, actually, as we've done lots of different collaborations.
Yeah, and that's a wonderful thing now, Ben, you know, with somebody like that. Well, the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra became world famous when they did that KISS concert. Many years ago, that was a DVD.
Well, even before that, Elton John, back in the 80s, that was actually the first time I really strongly connected with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra was as a teenager when they collaborated with Elton John on did a big national tour.
Yep.
And I watched that on TV, and I videoed it, and I just wore that videotape out watching that concert. It was so amazing. So yeah, we're doing a lot more of that stuff now, but you're right, a lot of times they're the concerts people remember, you know, they really remember them clearly.
Yeah. And Ben, did you like so many classical music people travel the world, you know, playing with different orchestras? And
yes, I did. I travelled a lot as a performer because I didn't get into conducting until I was in my late 20s. It wasn't something that I always wanted to do, you know, like a kid jumping around the living room conducting along to the orchestral albums on. I was a performer, and so I did play a lot of classical music here in Melbourne particularly, and played as a freelance musician, but I toured a lot, and I toured with a great guitarist, Tommy Emmanuel. Toured America with him, and I also toured with some big ensembles to the UK and Japan. But as a conductor, I've traveled actually a lot more. And that's a real nomadic lifestyle, the conducting lifestyle. You know, even though I've been lucky to be able to work in my hometown with Melbourne Symphony Orchestra over the years, I before the pandemic, at least, I was about 7 months of the year on the road.
Whoa,
so it's a long time. And mainly in Asia and around the Asia Pacific region, but yeah, often further afield.
And so, Ben, do you work with the MSO? I mean, are you sort of full-time with the MSO, or do you work with them all the time, or do you just come and go with different performances and pieces?
No, I've got what they call a titled position. Sounds very formal, but
it does sound very formal.
Principal conductor in residence. Yeah, it does. And principal conductor in residence is my position with the MSO.
Okay.
That means that I conduct the orchestra about 8 to 10 weeks a year for a variety of different projects. And I'm kind of like somebody that they can call on to do interviews like these in Melbourne, to advocate for the orchestra, advocate for the arts here in Melbourne and music in particular. And so I've really enjoyed that connection with the orchestra. And it's been, you know, over 10 years that I've had a position with the orchestra now. And I first worked with them back in 2003. And over that time, we've built a really wonderful relationship, and I have so much admiration and respect for the musicians.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of great experiences together now.
Yeah. And that whole stigma, oh, it's a symphony orchestra, you know, like, oh, they're all a little bit like, you know, like very different to us and a little bit toffee, and that's all gone now, hasn't it? You know, like it's regular people now.
Look, I think it's certainly... As far as the musicians are concerned, it was never there, really. but you know, the musicians are musicians. It almost doesn't matter what instrument you play. We're all quite similar. And, you know, the MSO enjoy letting their hair down, having a good time, and, like, you know, anyone. But I suppose it's that idea of, are you an orchestra person? There's a lot of people out there who probably would reel at the idea of going along to the concert hall and sitting there and listening to a concert. But once they do it, often it's a very different experience than they might expect. And as you say, it's a lot more kind of welcoming and less formal that it used to be.
Yeah.
And that's been a great development, really.
And I think also the My Music Bowl, you know, like how that's been developed over the last quite a few years, I suppose, now, and even before the pandemic. And that opened it to a whole new audience as well, Ben, too, didn't it?
Well, God bless Sidney Meier. You know, what a man. He not only enabled that building, you know, that to be built for the Arts Centre who now run it, but think of all of the free concerts that the MSO have done there in summer. We always do 3 or 4 concerts there in February every year. And, you know, we've had 10,000 people at those concerts almost, you know, consistently for decades. And a lot of people experience the orchestra for the first time at one of those concerts. And they really, I've conducted so many of those, and they are my favourite concerts to conduct because I feel like we're connecting with the city, with the people of the city.
True.
And those concerts are free. They symbolise the generosity of the city of Melbourne, you know, the people, and also our love of music. We've got this wonderful kind of cultural capital, you know, moniker that we use, but people of Melbourne, they love sport, but they also love the arts.
Absolutely.
And we're huge consumers of the arts and music in particular, and those concerts really symbolise that for me.
And Ben, I was going to say, I mean, with the MSO, the MSO is now, I mean, I think garnering a lot more interest and appeal across the board because, like you say, because of the different types of music and performance they've done, like, you know, for example, when we talked about the Kiss, the ones where I think the MSO has performed with, you know, movie scores, they've also looked at those live performances that we had in lockdown, you know, with the Bamboos and various other guests. And I also noticed, I mean, which I was quite surprised at, but I was watching back to my British Film Festival, Falling for Figaro, and I noticed that MSO had a credit in that as well with a lot of the music, I think musical pieces in there, in that movie as well. So MSO seems to be, you know, has a hand in a lot of things at the moment.
Well, it's true, and I think it's great that the orchestra reaches wide, you know, to a variety of different kinds of music lovers. One of the great concerts we did a couple of years ago was the film music of Nick Cave and Warren Ellis.
Mm. Yep.
You know, that was a wonderful collaboration. And we just, that was an audience who never would have come to the orchestra before. Many of them were there for the first time, and it was so special for that reason. But I think it's, you know, we're there to celebrate and perform great music. And great music in all of its forms. We've got our orchestral repertoire that we perform often, but I think there's so much great music of all kinds out there, and that's what we really want to celebrate and perform for people. And that's been a wonderful thing. It's sort of democratized the orchestra, if you like, as well. I mean, they're sort of publicly funded institutions, partly at least.
Yep.
And I think we've got a responsibility to reach out to as many people as possible.
Absolutely. And you're really doing that. So Ben, tell us, what are you involved in, and what's the orchestra involved in? Because there's so many things we can talk about here today.
Well, you know, isn't it funny? The arts is like a tap with the COVID situation. It's either on, absolutely full blast, or it's just completely off. And we've been through a you know, brutally difficult time. And I really feel for all artists out there who have had their livelihoods taken away, and you know, a lot of people have had to chuck it in completely and do other things. However, you know, now we're in a position to be able to perform live concerts again, and I think this is a chance for people to dip their toe back into going out again too. There's probably a lot of people who haven't been out for a while to a big concert like this, and the Maya Music Bowl is a perfect place to go and have a nice, safe experience of great music. And so the MSO is doing a big festival of music. It's three different programs across 5 nights from December the 6th to the 14th. The first two are Classical Hits at the Bowl program, which is sort of like the highlights of a lot of the music that we weren't able to perform this year for our MSO audience, because we cancelled 80 concerts this year. You know, it was just crazy. And then the middle of those five concerts is Skyfall, the James Bond film, with live orchestral backing, which will be absolutely incredible. And then what we're calling Performance of a Lifetime Live are the final two of those concerts. And that is a really epic event and a real celebration of Melbourne's music community and our arts community. I mean, it's such a long list of people, but all I'll say is it's music theatre stars from all of the musical theatre works that are currently being performed in Melbourne, Moulin Rouge, Frozen, the musical, Harry Potter, The Cursed Child. There's Rhonda Birchmore singing Meow Meow. We've got Deborah Cheatham, Ali McGregor, Virginia Gay from Melbourne Theatre Company. Victorian Opera are going to be represented there, the Australian Ballet, Tim Rogers, Kate Sobrano, Emma Donovan, the Bamboos are going to be there as well. We've got some contemporary... Like I said, I could just keep talking forever.
Because there is an endless list of it. I was just looking at the list that was provided.
It's unbelievable. I did one similar concert for Melbourne Festival years ago, which had a sort of a similar kind of long lineup of artists, but this even tops that. I mean, it'll be a memorable night. Well, actually, it's two nights. I think it's the 13th and the 14th at the Bowl for Performance of a Lifetime. And, of course, 1,000 tickets are being donated to essential workers across these five performances who have given so tirelessly of themselves all throughout this pandemic.
Yeah. Now, Ben. Sorry. So it's on two nights, but are these performers on both nights? So you know, it's sort of the same performers and same performance on both nights. Or
yes, okay. I think as far as I know, it's the same performers, because I think it's I can't remember what night the 13th is. It might be a Monday and a Tuesday. I can't remember, but there was one night where a couple of the music theatre performers had shows.
Okay.
So I think they're doing the first one. But, I mean, yes, it's ideally exactly the same show from night to night.
Yeah, 13 and 14 is Monday and a Tuesday.
That's right. So I think there's a couple of the musicals have got shows on the Tuesday night.
Oh, okay.
And, of course. That might be
slightly different, but I would say unnoticeably different given the vast numbers of performers in those shows. But I think these are concerts that people will be talking about forever. I mean,
it's such a rare
event. You know?
Yeah. And Ben, what are you conducting? Which ones? Is it just those two, or is there others?
No, I'm conducting the Classical Hits program on the 6th and the 7th, and that's also for fans of classical music. An incredible lineup. We're doing Ravel's Bolero. We've got Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony. A young soloist called Christian Lee, who's about to absolutely explode onto the world's classical music scene, and he's been signed with Decca Records. He's going to be performing the first movement of the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto, Elgar's Enigma Variations. I mean, there's just, you know, that's a real greatest hits program. So I'm conducting four of these five concerts, and my colleague Nick Buck is going to be conducting the Skyfall project in the middle of these as well. So it's going to be a busy time. This is the thing. It's almost like having a real job. Unbelievable. Having to work again.
And the wonderful thing I love about musicians of your standing is that, you know, like you're doing a couple of shows, you know, like with this, and then you're changing to that, and you know, and everyone's got to learn all the different songs, but it's a piece of cake for people like you, isn't it?
Well, this is the thing people don't understand about, particularly the orchestral musicians. Their magic power is how fast they are at playing, at reading something. You can literally just put a sheet of music in front of them and they just play it.
Wow.
They just play it. So you know, we will rehearse probably, you know, 2 days or something before the concert, and that's it, you know, and we just do a couple of days rehearsal and then they're ready.
Wow.
And as you say, you do a different project every week, sometimes two different projects. And so They're very, very quick.
So their cape has got MSO on the back, and they fly home every night.
Exactly.
And I was going to say, they're really making you earn your permanent position with the MSO, aren't they? And the title.
It's been a crazy couple of years because the international borders have been closed, and of course we always do have a lot of international guests coming to the orchestra, and they haven't been able to be here. So. Yeah. I have done a lot with the orchestra. I'm sure they're completely sick to death of me, actually. But, it's a great chance to celebrate our Australian talent, isn't it? I mean, this concert, that performance of a lifetime concert, really speaks to that. There are so many incredible musicians and performers here in Melbourne. All of these people are from Melbourne. No one's coming from anywhere else.
And what an opportunity for them as well. A lot of them would have never sung with a whole orchestra before as well.
Yep, that's exactly right. Mm. And that's the other great thing about an orchestra, isn't it? You know, it's something special.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tim Rogers and I have worked together before. We did a big David Bowie tribute up in Sydney a few years back.
Yep, yep.
And I remember him saying, you know, how it was sort of intimidating and utterly thrilling at the same time, you know, this sort of melding of two different worlds of rock and roll and the orchestra. And it is really special to get on stage with that many people.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just 100 people on stage. Yeah, it's incredible. Whoa. It's nothing like it.
All right, Ben, lovely chatting with you. It's always a treat to chat with you, and enjoy your busy time before Christmas.
I'm going to have to start working out, I think, make sure I don't fall over in the middle of these concerts. But yeah, thanks very much for having a chat to me about it today. I appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Thanks so much. We've been talking to Benjamin Northey here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.